camera, action.
Too many times.
Call the House Committee on Health Care to order, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill. Oh, wait a minute. Before I do that, unopened. I'm going to roll over Senate Bill 16A until Wednesday. I can only roll it over till today. And now I will roll it over till Wednesday. I think we have an amendment that settles some of my angst, and we ought to be able to move it without any problem on Wednesday with an amendment. So, Senate Bill 16 is carried over to the next committee meeting, which is next Wednesday. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 735. Roxy, can you tell us what this is about?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This modifies provision for the administrator of the Oregon Prescription Drug Program to perform any of the functions of the program, including but not limited to contracting. It adds the Oregon Educators Benefit Board and the Public Employees Retirement System to the list of entities and persons who can participate in the program. It declares an emergency and takes effect upon passage. It was voted on. It was, had a 30A votes and no opposition in the Senate floor.
Representative Thompson, you had a proposed amendment that we're not going with, but you wanted to put on
we're
the
going,
record.
Yeah, we had the A8 in that dealt with rural pharmacy. I think we can handle that directly with OPDP. And if not, I'll be back in January. I don't think it's necessary. So we can handle it a different way.
Yeah, basically being able to hire a benefit manager allows them to negotiate with the rural pharmacy.
Exactly, and that's what we wanted was to get some attention on the rural pharmacy situation. And we've talked about it enough times. I think they understand where I'm coming from, and I understand their limitations. So we'll work out the details now.
Well, how about a motion on 736 for you?
Okay, so we
735, I'm sorry.
Would you like that?
So that would be to move Senate Bill 735-A8.
No, dash 735-A.
Yeah, 735-A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Yes, ma'am.
Seven.
Wait a minute. What's
I think
the?
We have a 7 here. Do we need to adopt those? Okay.
I don't think we're planning on adopting anything.
Okay.
Is that right?
No.
The dash 7 amendment was the one that would have allowed the Oregon medical programs that receive Medicare to be part of
be
the
clarified.
Oregon.
I'm not speaking in favor. I'm asking the procedural question.
Procedural question. You made the right motion.
Okay.
735-A.
Yeah, 735-A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thompson moves Senate Bill 735-A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any discussion? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senate Protec.
Thank you. I noticed that there were A7s drafted that would have dealt with the Medicaid issue. I am comfortable with moving the bill as it is. I hope that we will revisit participation of Medicaid managed care plans in OPDP as soon as possible. I made my comments at the last hearing about that, but this bill is too important to not let it go through, and we need it. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on Senate Bill 735? You roll this one. Would you call the roll, please? Excused.
Aye.
Representative Dimmerle.
Aye.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Harper.
Aye.
Representative
Kinnear.
Aye.
Representative Cotet.
Aye.
Vice Chair Ballard.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Chair Greenlee.
Aye. Motion carries. I think I'll carry it. Close a work session on Senate Bill 735. Open a work session on Senate Bill 23. Madam Administrator.
Yes, Mr. Chair. This measure establishes the Oregon Patient Safety Commission as the central agency for collection of data and analysis by patient safety organizations in Oregon. It requires the commission to analyze statewide patient safety data, to compare statewide data to federal data, and to report findings. It authorizes the commission to utilize the collections unit of the Department of Revenue to recover unpaid fees from healthcare facilities.
Okay. We've had hearing. Are you still going?
Yeah, I am. There was a fiscal statement issued on this bill, and you have that in your packet.
Is it a different fiscal than was in the summer?
No, it's the same one that was that you had before.
Okay, great. Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 174?
We're on
23. Wait a minute.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 23A? We're going to get to 174 in a minute. Can you please call the roll? Oh, wait a minute. I need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 23A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion on Senate Bill 23A? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Representative
Dimmerle.
Aye.
Representative
Garrett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker.
Aye.
Representative Kimmerer.
Aye.
Representative Polchek.
Aye.
Vice Chair Mauer.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Grun.
Excuse.
Chair Greenlee. Aye. Motion carries. I think this could go to the consent calendar. If nobody has a problem with that. Objection? Put that on the consent calendar. Close the work session on Senate Bill 23A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 862A. And Administrator?
Let me catch up with you.
Take your time. It's just the only thing standing between us
that's
and Memorial
Day
weekend is
I
you.
Know. I'm as aware of that as anybody. This bill requires the Administrator of the Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research to adopt rules for approval of community-based initiative and community-based health care improvement programs operated by the initiative. It exempts approved initiative and program from the insurance code. It declares an emergency effective upon passage. There is a -2 amendment to this bill which defines community, and it clarifies the criteria that OHPR uses in developing the rules. There is a fiscal statement on this bill. We have a fiscal statement on the -2 amendment. You have it in front of you at the dais.
Is it the same as the one?
It came just literally before we came, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. It says the passage of this bill will have a minimal fiscal impact on the Department of Human Services.
Okay. Dr. Smith, I saw you before. Well, would you like to talk about the -2?
Chair Greenlee, members of the committee, for the record, Janine Smith, Administrator, Office of Health Policy and Research. The -2s, I think we mentioned briefly at the last hearing, were just some sideboards that were discussed on the Senate side to kind of to limit the number of entities that could qualify under this state improvement plans, and also to have our office work with the communities in terms of defining the community so we could maybe better measure the impact of these efforts in terms of our monitoring of health care uninsured and, so trying to just working with them to understand their parameters and how they tie into, like, primary care service districts, both rural and urban.
And you don't have any problem with them?
Chair Greenlee, no, we've worked extensively with the authors and the DCBS and the insurance division, and we all feel very comfortable with this. It's really a first step in some innovative community innovations to further some of the recommendations of the Oregon Health Fund Board.
Thank you very much.
Is that redundant?
Probably.
Innovatively innovative.
Can I have an amendment on the -2s, please?
A motion.
Motion on the -2s.
I want to be sure.
Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Do the best
there.
You can with the material you got.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -A2 amendments dated 4-2809 to Senate Bill 862A.
Representative Harker moves to adopt the -A2s. The -2s, whichever, to Senate Bill 862. Is there any discussion on that? Is there any objection to that? -2s are accepted. How about a motion on the bill as
Chair,
amended?
Move Senate Bill 862A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? We have a motion from Representative Harker to move 862A as amended with the A2 amendments. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Dembrough?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harker?
Aye.
Representative Kinnear?
Aye.
Representative
Cote? Aye.
Vice Chair Mauer?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Excused.
Representative Cannon?
Aye.
Vice Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 862A goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Somebody like to carry this one?
I'll carry it.
Good. Senator Mauer will be carrying it. Close the work session on Senate Bill 862. And open a work session on Senate Bill 174. Representative Kinnear has an amendment for us. Would you?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Talk to us about that, please.
174-3 amendment should have that in your pile of materials. As you'll recall, there's an obsolete civil penalty of $1,000. And there was some difference of opinion. At your suggestion, we convened an informal group to discuss this, and the dash threes are those consensus amendments. Basically, on page one, we delete the current $1,000 civil penalty, and on page three, we institute an amount of $5,000 for a number of the smaller infractions and up to $10,000 in the case of more serious infractions. And then you'll recall that Senator Whitsitt had an amendment regarding licensure of psychologists in municipal and state facilities that are currently exempt, a rather obsolete standard that's inconsistent with other professional license standards. That is on page 5. And we worked with DHS, who did not see a problem with that, and also the Association of Community Mental Health, the Association of Community Mental Health Directors, and they are in agreement and in support of this amendment as well. So,
great.
To my knowledge, there is no objection, and I think we're ready to proceed.
Is there anybody like to testify on this that has any problem with it? Okay. Can we have a motion on the dash threes, please? Yes, ma'am.
We can adopt the amendment. But
we don't have the fiscal.
Good.
Well, let's adopt the amendment. That would be great.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 174.
Is there any discussion on the dash four amendments?
Dash three amendments to 174.
Thank you. Dash three.
The dash N amendment.
Changes to say going up to 10,000 in all cases.
Okay. Is there any objection? You move the amendments, is that right?
Yes.
No objection to the amendments?
Right, eventually.
The dash three amendments are now a part of Senate Bill 174, and we will carry this over until Wednesday, at which point we should have a fiscal to go with it. So we will close the work session on Senate Bill 174, unless the fiscal shows up before we're done today, but I expect it probably won't. Okay, we've carried over 16A, so we're into the public hearings. Folks have to come and go. If we get to pass any more today, we'll see if we have a... Oh, let's hold on for one more thing. Let me open a public hearing on Senate Bill 876. Is Representative Whitsitt around? Representative Whitsitt wanted us to bring this bill back up, and after meeting with DHS and others, we agreed to do it with an amendment. And do we have the amendment before us?
How long ago was that?
The amendment deletes Section A or something?
Yes, we have the bill that it would actually technically delete all of Section 9 and then put B and C back in as subsection A and B. And you have that hand-engrossed version in front of you.
You want to just... I'm sorry, I didn't give you a chance to describe the bill. And here you were all prepped to do that. So please do
that's
it.
That's fine. The bill requires that the Department of Human Services pay for brand name rather than generic neosuppressant drugs when prescribed by a licensed practitioner in connection with organ transplants. It provides a definition of neurotherapeutic index drug and specifies time frame and process for category determination. It declares an emergency and takes effect upon passage.
And actually, what the amendment does is it means it does not do the first thing you said, to require that it is paid for. But what it does do, is one of the problems apparently is there was a time-taking process in the department on the assessment of whether there was a narrow therapeutic range or not of a given drug. The notion is if there is a narrow therapeutic range, then in some instances the generic might not meet that narrow therapeutic range, so therefore the brand name would be covered. And what this does with the agreement of the department is it moves them to make that determination within 6 months. So the determination is made more quickly rather than in abeyance. This works fine with the department and with Representative Wisnet. If we would like, there's any more public, is there public testimony?
Yes.
We have a public hearing. Okay. Who have we got?
Richard Cosan.
Yeah. Come on, Richard. Talk to us.
Mr. Chair, thank you. For the record, my name is Richard Cosan.
You may need to move. Oh, and here's Representative Wisnet.
And prudently,
ask and we shall receive.
Prudently, I may defer to a representative.
Wow. For the record, Mr. Chair, Representative Gene Wisnet, District 53. Thank you very much for hearing this bill. And committee members, I just had to leave the meeting. For your information, the crab bill passed the Senate committee, so that's good news.
How did Jewish soil do?
And I'm following six fourth graders over there. So, Mr. Chair, this is I think this is an important bill. We worked a lot. We had a lot of co-sponsors in the House and the Senate on this bill. It's a real important bill. I actually have a constituent or a neighboring constituent, Chris Klug, who is a Olympic medalist, snowboarder, and he's had an organ transplant, and he has a foundation advocating for transplants. And you're going to hear about it from people more expertise than I have. But the bill's pretty simple. It just says that the doctor gets to say, if you've had a transplant, the doctor can prescribe the generic or the regular bill medicine, because it's so critical for those transplant patients that you're going to hear about a narrow therapeutic index and what that means. But I think hopefully this bill will do that, and I do appreciate the committee and the chair hearing this bill, which I think is very important.
Mr. Chair, Richard Cosan. Without the underlying bill, the A. Engross bill in the Senate was indeed amended, I think made much more narrow in scope. We worked with the department, and for the record, I would very much like to express an appreciation for the department. They have, throughout the last number of months and even prior to the session, the department was wonderful to work with and made, I think, great accommodations. But I think 876, as amended, is a prudent course for the state, specifically with respect to those individuals who are fortunate enough to receive a transplanted organ.
Unfortunate enough to need one, but fortunate enough to get one.
It could be unfortunate, too, yes. But for perspective, in 2008 nationally, I believe there were approximately 27,000 transplanted organs. About 85% of those were either kidney or liver. Years ago, when the transplant phenomena began, the biggest fault, the biggest shortcoming was the rejection of the organ. Today, with pharmaceuticals, the rejection rate is diminished. In recent years, for example, specifically with respect to kidney and liver transplants, retention rate has been rated well over 90% for the first 12 months after surgery. So a remarkable turnaround. What 876 is trying to do, Astellas Pharmaceutical is the manufacturer of one specifically oriented immunosuppressant agent, and the agent is known as Prograf. The generic name of Prograf is tacrolimus. Today it's prescribed approximately 80 to 90% of the time for transplant recipients. The efficacy, I think, has been demonstrated to be very high, but it is a drug with a very specialized field. What we tried to do with the bill is identify that narrow field by narrowing the scope of the bill. And it requests the department to make a determination whether that drug, that immunosuppressant drug, would be a drug represented by a narrow therapeutic index. Again, a very specialized field. It provides that the department shall make that accommodation within 180 days. One of the interesting facets with Prograf is the patent expired on Prograf in April of 2008. To date, FDA has not yet approved a generic version. So it's a little bit odd, and it's a little bit uncharted territory. And that's why we believe we find a need and a responsible course with the legislation as proposed. With that, Mr. Chair, if you would like, I would be happy to try to address the amendments from a different perspective. I will leave it at that and be happy to try to respond to questions.
Thank you. You're from the department.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, I'm Jim Edge from the Department of Human Services, Division of Medical Assistance Programs. You've already heard that this bill is about immunosuppressant drugs and specifically about the possibility of an immunosuppressant drug that might have a narrow therapeutic index, which means a narrow range between the therapeutic level of the drug and the toxic level of the drug. And normally when a drug goes off patent and generics become available, we pay the lower amount of the generic drug for cost savings. In the case, though, of a drug that has a narrow therapeutic index, we don't do that. We allow the brand name drug to continue to be prescribed even if it's more expensive. This bill focuses primarily, as has been stated, on one particular drug that has gone off patent. There are no generics available yet. We actually don't know yet if the drug has a narrow therapeutic index. That determination hasn't been made. But the bill would require that that determination be made within 180 days. Our normal administrative process today is our Drug Utilization Review Advisory Committee makes these kinds of determinations after generics are on the market, after they become available. And then we would make that determination, and if the drug was determined to have a narrow therapeutic index, we would give it protection from the generics. If it's not, we would pay the lower generic price. This bill, we're okay with this bill. It simply speeds up the process and asks us to do this within 180 days, and we would be okay with that.
Great. And it is the current policy. If it is within that range, then the brand name is okay to be prescribed.
Sure, Greenlick, yes, that's the case.
Which is taken care of in what would have been item A. Are there any questions of the panel? Representative Kenemer?
The dash two amendments, are we going to consider those?
The dash two amendments are what we're going to consider.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Which deletes the A that was agreed upon with Representative Wisnett and Dr. Goldberg.
Is that correct?
Mr. Chair? I will defer to DHS. Mr. Cousinsand still feels that we need it in there to clarify, but I'll leave it up to DHS. They're the expert, and they're the ones that are going to have to make this determination. I was trying to figure out working with the chair's staff and how to make it flow so it would read,
not quite so clunky.
Yeah, but I would defer to DHS as far as, you know, we want this to work. We want the patients to be able to have the drug that they need to help them survive after this transplant.
Chair Greenlick and Representative Kenemer, yes, I think the dashed two amendment makes it a little more clear. It still does address the drug program and the fact that a determination should be made within 180 days. So from our perspective, the amendment is a good one and still accomplishes the same thing for program.
Representative Harker, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Maurer.
It's not solely germane to the proposed amendment here, but I'm a little confused because, as defined, we're talking about a narrow therapeutic index, which is difference between therapeutic level and toxic level. This is like ED50s and LD50s, and so I'm surprised that that the info is not already available during the development of the drug, and that it falls to the DHS to make the determination. Am I understanding this correctly?
Chair Greenlick and Representative Harper, the information should be available in scientific literature, and it's what we use to make our determination. We have not yet gone through the process of looking at the scientific literature and making that determination, and normally we don't do that until a generic comes on the market and there's a need to make that kind of a determination. The FDA has had submitted to it by the manufacturer some articles, some scientific articles, and they also have not taken action yet on those articles and made this determination.
Follow up?
Yes.
Is that typical? What you're saying is true of this particular drug. Is that the typical process?
Chair Greenlick and Representative Harker, yes, that's fairly typical, that there would not be necessarily action taken until there's a need for action, which is when the generics actually come on the market, or there's a request for a generic to come on the market.
Okay, thanks. I'll let go.
We have this. Representative Maurer?
Yes. So, can I get a very simple, like a thumbs up or on the dash twos? That was not a thumb. That was an index finger.
The index finger is a pretty good finger.
Yeah, but.
Mr. Chair and Representative Maurer, from my perspective, I would prefer that language stay in, and for a couple of reasons. One, I think it makes clear that in the event the department makes the determination that a particular immunosuppressant used specifically in conjunction with an organ transplant is determined to have a narrow therapeutic index. Basically, that language is included and incorporated to attempt to make certain that the department will not restrict access to that drug. It's my understanding that this is currently existing policy of the department. So I guess you could argue, on one hand, if it's current policy, you could exclude it from the bill. On the other hand, you could likewise argue that if it's current policy, there would be no harm in including it in the bill.
Let me help the argument along a little bit. If we don't have consensus on the dash two, we don't have a work session on the bill. So if that makes things clear, I do want to make sure we have agreement on the dash twos before I open a work session on the bill.
Mr. Chair, may
yes,
I would provide another suggestion? If
all you want.
I would be happy, and I provided your staff this morning with a different alternative. And again, it was an alternative to try to highlight immunosuppressants specifically in conjunction with organ transplants and highlight the access to such drugs. And I would be happy to work on that.
I'll close the public hearing, and we'll get back to it next Wednesday, or we won't get back to it next Wednesday. I'll roll the work session on Senate Bill 876 over to next Wednesday for possible discussion. I hope that helped, Mr. Crazy. What do we got?
Down to
the next one. I'll open a work session on House Bill 649.
Senate Bill?
I'm sorry, Senate Bill 649. And ask Mr. Holt and Mr. Gardner to join us. There are two, there have been two proposed amendments. I intend to hear one of the two. So the dash four is to take out the...
Add the prescription, request that they be prescription drugs.
Right.
Drugs.
We'll be talking about that, but not the other one, which does... Well, let's see where we are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner, appearing today for Pharma. We assisted on the Senate side, assisted Senator Morissette at his request in basically adapting the language of Nevada legislation to Oregon form and style, and that is the Senate Bill 649A engrossed. We've looked at the dash A4s, and they reflect the concerns of CHPA, the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, which is basically the non-prescription drug manufacturers, that they should it would not be appropriate to include manufacturers of aspirin, et cetera, in that in this code of conduct provision. It's basically a the bill is basically a statement of a requirement that prescription drug manufacturers file and abide by a marketing code of conduct, the model for that we have presented to this committee, and on the Senate side is the Pharma Code, which regulates interactions with healthcare professionals. We think this is a good constructive step, and again, the dash fours appear to be appropriate.
Thank you. Mr. Holt?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tom Holt here today on behalf of ASI, which is a medium-sized biotech company. I think Mr. Gardner's done a good job of describing the bill. I mean, essentially what it requires is the filing of marketing codes of conduct with the Board of Pharmacy so the folks can have confidence that the companies are self-regulating themselves in this area, in which we've had lots of discussion in this committee and other committees. We're pleased to be able to work collaboratively with Senator Morissette in development of this, which is based on Nevada's current statute that's been in force for several years and has, by all reports, been working quite well. The only thing I would add to Mr. Gardner's testimony is that there is a word for employees of companies that violate those policies. It's fired. They really do take it seriously. My client certainly takes it seriously. But we also, as we've noted before on other bills, regard the relationships that we have with prescribers as being very important to patient care. There's a lot of information that needs to be conveyed, those relationships are extremely important, especially in the specialty areas in which ASI deals. The company has a number of orphan products, which means there's a global population of less than 200,000 people even eligible for the treatment who might be appropriate. And so those relationships do not involve big TV ads and things like that, but they are nonetheless important. And we're happy to disclose the marketing policy and give people confidence that things are being done on the up and up.
Are there any questions to this panel? Thank you both very much.
So they both support the dash fours.
Yes. Chair Greenlick, Representative Kanemer, yes, and I've spoken with the CHIPA representative, and we're okay with that amendment.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, we already we testified that they're fine with us.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 649 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 649. Can I have a motion on the A4?
If you want to move this,
go ahead.
We can adopt the amendment. We don't have the fiscal. We could suspend the rules because this probably has less of a fiscal than the original one.
It can't have more of a fiscal, right, so because there will be less reports. Okay, let's do that. Let's get the dash fours first.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash A4s to Senate Bill 649A, dated 5/19/09.
Representative Harker moves we adopt the A4 amendments, dated 5/19, to the Senate Bill 649. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Dash 4s. Can we have a motion to suspend the rules to move Senate Bill 649 as amended without an updated fiscal?
Mr. Chair, I request that we suspend the rules to permit Senate Bill 649A as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation without the FISRES.
Is there any objections to that motion? Carried. We have a motion on the bill now as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 649A as amended to the floor with the do pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Roll call.
Aye.
Excuse.
Representative Denbrough?
Aye.
Representative
Garrett? Aye.
Representative
Parker? Aye.
Representative
Kenner? Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Try Cannon again. See if he responds.
Representative Cannon?
Which bill?
Bill 49.
Bill aye.
And Greenlick is an aye. Motion carries. You want to carry this one, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Representative Cannon change his vote?
Yeah, he got the vote, yes.
Okay.
I did not vote.
I'm sorry.
I
you prefer not to vote on this one?
No, I didn't know what the bill was, and so I didn't feel comfortable saying aye or nay.
Can we have a motion to suspend?
We can come back to it. Let him have a minute
term. I apologize for the timing of my departure.
It's this with that amendment. It's a bill that has drug companies attesting annually that they follow the law.
Oh.
Except it also means if they're not a prescription drug company, they don't have to attest they follow the law.
I'm an aye.
Mr. Chair, by request, we suspend the rules to allow Representative Cannon to vote on Senate Bill 649A.
Is there any objection to that? Representative Cannon?
Aye.
He's an aye. Motion carries. Just for the record.
Did we just vote on the bill itself?
We voted on the bill in the past.
Excuse me.
We voted on the suspension rules.
This has got a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Really?
So, yes.
Okay, well.
Excuse me.
I did find out from the speaker, because I was sort of astounded that some of these had subsequent referrals, that the rule was, given the tight financial situation, that anything with any fiscal of general funds or lottery funds is going to Ways and Means because of the financial situation. So there's one bill I understand is going with a $700 fiscal. But, okay, this is, do we need to redo that amendment?
Yes. So,
I'm sorry.
Not the amendment, but the bill.
Not the amendment, yeah.
But just the bill, if you could.
I need a motion to reconsider our vote on.
Did I?
Senate Bill 649A as amended.
So moved.
Is there any objection to the reconsideration? Can I have a new motion? Wait a minute. What do we do first? Do we need to vote to reconsider?
We worked
it. There are no objections.
Now you can vote on the bill.
Can we have a new motion with the subsequent? Thank you for catching that.
Well, and actually, Debbie Clarence.
Where's it going? Rules?
Yeah.
Ways and Means.
No, Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 649A as amended to Ways and means.
To the floor.
To the floor with a subsequent ways and means.
And it says it right here. I should have seen that. Okay.
I can't read that from here.
Is there any objection to that motion? The motion passes. Same vote.
All right. Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I move that we again suspend the rules, this time for the purpose of allowing Representative Bruin to vote on a couple of bills that he passed.
Let's do it. Is there any objection to this?
I just want to keep everything nice and clean.
Yeah, let's close the work session.
On 649, right now what I have is Representative Cannon excused.
No,
he did you vote on it?
He voted aye
That's what I need to know.
We have all of it.
So Representative Kenemer
or any of them.
And Kotick are excused on it.
Are excused.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. President Dembro, you want to try that one again?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Bruin to vote on, I think there are two bills that he was unable to vote on.
We know what those are?
She's checking right now.
One is 735.
735.
Oh, I've been told 174 and 862.
I've got you down as excused.
Seven.
Okay. Debbie probably knows better than
that. What were you told?
I was told 174 and 862.
And 735.
And 735. Wow,
okay.
You just
okay, the bottom three. Let's start with Senate Bill 174. How do you vote?
Aye.
Wait a minute. That was on an amendment. We didn't pass that bill. That was only an amendment.
174.
We didn't pass 174, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. 735, sir. How do you vote?
Aye.
And 862, how do you vote?
Aye.
And we think 23?
23.
And Senate Bill 23, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
You're very welcome. What do we have left? Just 670. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 670. And who do we have testifying?
John McCall.
John, you want to come up? Foxy, would you tell us what that bill does, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. If I can find...
Find your folder.
Find anything anymore.
The whirlwind of activity. Huh?
Okay. This also has a referral to Ways and Means.
We're going
to
be out early.
670.
Remind everybody up front, this one also has a referral to Ways and Means.
Try to remember.
And what the measure does is it adds audiologists, speech-language pathologists, psychologists, or providers of adult foster care, their employees, to the list of those who must report elderly abuse. It exempts from reporting information about abuse if the psychiatrist or a psychologist receives the information from a patient as part of the patient privilege. It adds osteopathic physicians, physician assistants, naturopathic physician, podiatric physician, surgeon, nurse practitioner, nurse's aide, physical speech or occupational therapist, audiologist, speech language pathologist, home health aide, or an employee of an in-home health service to the list of those who must report child abuse. There's a fiscal statement issued on this. It's one that you have in front of you at the dais. This one has, I think this is the one that has a $2,881.
This is the one I went to ask the speaker about.
And it passed on the Senate floor 30 to nothing.
Sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is John McCulley. I'm here today representing the Oregon Speech Language Hearing Association and the Occupational Therapy Association of Oregon. Both of those organizations are in support of Senate Bill 670. Many of the members of the organization thought they were already included under the mandatory reporting requirements for both elder abuse and child abuse reporting. And this just confirms their beliefs, we urge your passage of the bill.
Okay. Is there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing. It is a $2,881 general fund request, and it will be to Ways and Means. So is there any discussion on it? Well, let's have a motion on it.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 670.
Mr. Chair, we need to open the work session first.
That's a good idea. Why don't we do that? I have a barn. Let's have a work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 670A.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I move Senate Bill 670A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference in view of its enormous fiscal impact.
We don't have anybody from DHS here, do we? Okay, we will do this. We will move it if we get the vote to Ways and Means, and we will send a note to the co-chairs asking them to please move this in spite of its fiscal of 2100. And if we can't get it, we'll take up a collection. Pay for the extra brochures. This is for printing extra brochures. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I have to ask a rhetorical question.
Good, you'll get a rhetorical
I don't expect
answer.
An answer, but how can it possibly cost $2,100 to report a handful of cases of child abuse or elderly abuse when we don't even know?
No, it's to print extra brochures for all the new professionals and distribute them. It's for the printing and distributing of brochures to the licensed professionals that we've now named.
Can we recycle some of the paper we waste in this building and cut that cost down?
So you asked a rhetorical question and I gave you an answer?
I was scared to death I was going to get an answer, and I did. You know, and the companion question of that is, you know, maybe next session we ought to really look at cleaning this whole thing up and just requiring anybody who is a normal adult as an obligate reporter of child and elderly abuse. I mean, we keep going through. We did it with pharmacists. Now we added another list of people in here.
I think we've added them all now.
Really?
I think the intention was to add all the health professionals.
It just seems to me that anybody who observes elderly or child abuse ought to be reporting it.
I think you're a good idea, but think of how many brochures we'd have to
send
then.
I completely missed the brochure problem, yeah. I was thinking email, my mistake. You know?
Now, Mr. Chair, that translates to 8/10,000th of a penny for every man, woman, and child in this state.
Yes, but the percent increase is nearly infinite.
All right, team. We can get out of here if we vote on this. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Kennard. Aye. Representative Garrett. Aye. Vice Chair Harper. Aye. Representative Kinnamer. Excused. Representative Kotek. Excused. Vice Chair Maurer. Aye. Representative Thompson. Aye. Chair Greenlink. Aye.
Motion carries and the bill's off to Ways and Means. And we'll
before I close the meeting, are you comfortable? Because anything that we didn't roll over or
what's not rolled over?
I think I just want to check because it's dead if we don't.
All right. Well, let's close the work session on Senate Bill 670 and make sure everything here is rolled.
Yes, we did.
Rolled over.
16 and 876.
And 174. I think we
ought to publish those three.
Okay. In case we haven't, we are rolling over 174 to Wednesday. We are rolling over Senate Bill 16A to Wednesday. And we are rolling over Senate Bill 649 to Wednesday.
876.
Right.
I think for that small number, we're not.
876. Mm-hmm. Well, we still have work to do. Okay. We are rolling over 876 until Wednesday. They are all being rolled over. Happy. Oh, we're getting close to a date for a party, team. And I think only one of us can't get there, and I think it's likely to be the night of June 6th. Is that the night you're having your party?
No, that's my birthday.
It's
happy
Saturday.
Birthday.
It's June 11th, maybe? I don't remember.
No,
it's
8th.
The same night that I'm having my party.
Yeah, it's June 8th. So hold that, because the 8th and the 9th were the only two options we ended up with. Let me also tell you, I think I have heard that another pharmacy, the pharmacy reporting bill, may be coming out of Ways and Means. I've heard that. And we are adjourned. Can you reissue?